Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Jules Von Hepp.
Hello, I'm Sarah Powell.
And welcome to Wobble, a podcast about happiness and body confidence.
Because we all wobble.
On this episode of Wobble, we have writer, publisher and podcaster Bride Chiller, also known as Aussie Wonder, Alicia McCormack. Now, obviously, we will talk about weddings, planning and pressures and things like that. But if you're thinking, Sarah, I'm not getting married, so actually, I think I'll just skip this episode. Please don't. There is so much amazing life advice and brilliant tips that can be applied to so many other things because Alicia is full of wisdom. Here she is.
Alicia Bates, hi!
Hi!
Welcome to Wobble.
Thank you so much. And I feel like only dogs could have heard my...
Yeah, just something for the dogs at the start.
She's there. Good on her.
For those who don't know, just explain what a bride chiller is.
Right, good. Often something that people misinterpret.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, it's a lazy bride. She's or a groom. A groom chiller or a bride chiller. And I get quite angry. But then I think it's something that is evolving and people sometimes get it wrong. So I'm here to get it right.
Great.
Bride chiller is really a concept where you are planning the wedding you want. You don't feel necessarily beholden to the pressures that are surrounding so many couples that are planning a wedding.
Yeah.
From potentially like the mainstream wedding press that are saying, you've got to do all this stuff. And it's then just picking and choosing and ditching obligation and pressure and just doing something that you want to do and planning a great party.
Yeah, nice. Mm. And so for my wedding as well, there was family to consider.
Of course.
Like, you know, so you want to make sure. Because the thing is, the weird thing about organising a wedding is it's the only time in my life that I would ever organise something for my friends, but also my mum and dad's friends.
Absolutely.
And that's a very, because normally they'd look after their friends, I'd look after mine and everyone have a great time. So you've got a lot of people to think about, haven't you?
Yeah. It's a vast consideration.
Yeah.
And I think it's very challenging to, quote, get it right. But I do think you have to find a balance between, you know, your expectations of what you want to do, what sort of party you want to create, and events surrounding weddings as well, because it's not just the wedding day. There's lots of other things that now have been made to be normal that you have to have, which, you know, whatever. But I do think it's really hard. I think that's where people come undone because they are trying to please everyone. And again, that sort of falls under what I hope I can help people with by just empowering them to make decisions that work for them. Yeah. And that sometimes means mum really wants to invite her best friend Beryl, who you couldn't give a shit about.
Beryl.
I love you, Beryl. I don't know why I always pick Beryl. Beryl, if you're listening, we love you.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, all right, well, if it's going to keep everyone happy and it's not going to deeply affect you in a negative way, just invite Beryl.
Pick your battles.
Exactly.
Is something that I learnt very early on. Mm. Because, what you realise is you could really fall out with either each other, who's getting married, or friends, family, whoever. And then you get to the point where you're like, oh my God, this isn't that important to me. Like,
exactly.
It became really clear that my dress was really important to me, what I'm going to wear. Music was really important to John. That was his thing. He was like, I want to get the music right. So we were like, okay. So actually, once you identify that what's really important for you, you can kind of, it's nice. It's actually a relief, isn't it? To kind of let go of the rest of it.
We talk about, and I'm going to swear, so if anyone's offended,
sure,
hold on to your handbag. The idea that came up in our community and has really, people have just grabbed it and gone with it, is the fuck it bucket.
Yeah.
And it's like a really empowering thing that I think we should all take into our everyday lives. But people in our Facebook group, they call it the FIB for keeping it nice.
Nice, the fib.
Yeah. The fib. And we sort of say, what are the things that are, you know, like you said, sort of meaningless to us when it comes to what are you going to remember about the day?
Yeah.
What are the things that you could just put in the fuck it bucket and watch it burn and it won't make any difference to your enjoyment and your guests' enjoyment? And it's so great. Every couple of days, someone will put up a post in our Facebook group going, what are you putting in the FIB today? And people are like, you know, sometimes people are just like, oh, I'm putting the garter toss or whatever.
Yes.
And people are like, I'm putting the whole reception in the fuck it bucket. We're just eloping. And then you see these people, whoa, you know. So I think the fuck it bucket is one of those things you can use to really just consider what's important to you. And maybe the fuck it bucket is saying, I'm going to put wedding weight loss in the fuck it bucket because who cares if it's not important to you.
Yeah.
Or maybe say, I'm going to put the expectation to be thin in the fuck it bucket. But what I'm going to take out of the fuck it bucket is looking after myself and being more healthy.
Yeah, and looking the way I want to
exactly.
on my wedding. Yes. The fuck it bucket's great because you can just use it for your life if you're not getting married.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, there's the life-changing magic of not giving a fuck. Do you remember that book?
I do.
It's similar, isn't it? It's
sure.
It's that idea that you choose what's important to you, because I think we get stressed. We get really stressed or we get really caught up in something. And actually, sometimes it's really lovely to take a step back and go, I'm getting really into this for the wrong reason.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean? I'm following this because I'm 9 times out of 10 I'm trying to please somebody else.
Absolutely.
Or there's somebody else that I'm worried about. And equally, I think it's really nice to recognize what we do care about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you said, you can take things back out because you can go, oh, actually no, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I'm all about creating new traditions, because traditions had to come from somewhere originally.
Yeah.
And then often, especially considering where weddings have evolved to be more of a party, not just us, your father giving you to another family because of a dowry situation.
Yeah.
We have gone past that, hopefully.
Yeah. Yes. Just
99% of
us
have gone to that stage of it's not a financial transaction. So the idea that we're following these year-oldie traditions blindly, and I'm not dissing people that like and celebrate traditions, but just to go back and to consider, what does this activity or this function, what does it have meaning to you? And if it doesn't, put it in the fucker bucket.
Yeah.
Or make it something new or do your own thing.
Yes.
And be cool with it and enjoy it and feel empowered by that decision.
Yeah. Obviously through my celebrant stuff, speaking to couples, they're always surprised that, like, for example, you don't have to exchange rings.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that really surprises people, because like you said, it's a tradition. It's probably been at every wedding you've ever been to.
Totally.
But actually it's nothing to do with you legally getting married. It's just a lovely tradition. And for some people, they're like, well, I love that. And that's, you know, I married one couple and actually the exchange of rings was more important to them than the vows. That was like the central part of their ceremony, which is awesome. And then, but something that comes up a lot is public speaking, because it's a horrible thing that people are really worried about it, about their wedding, because they're not comfortable public speakers, they're not interested. And the thought of making wild declarations of love in front of friends and family, they can't think of anything worse.
It's mortifying for some people.
And it's amazing to be able to go, well, you don't have to do it. You can either just repeat after me, or you can just say, I agree. Or just not do it at all. And the relief, you can see it on them. They're like, oh my God, I don't have to do it. I mean, how awful for your wedding to feel like you've got to do anything, especially something that makes you feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What do you think, and I know this is going to change for absolutely everyone, what do you think is the most stressful thing for people? What stresses, sort of, what are the top three sort of thing?
I think when people get into wedding planning, what I see are other people's expectations.
Yeah.
So that might be parents, especially, I talk about wedding donors, and it's my fun way to say when parents contribute or family members contribute money to the wedding, and therefore they then work like a political donor.
Yes.
This is sort of my metaphorical sort of idea about it, that they go, no, we want you to have the best day, have some cash, And then a lot of people feel uncomfortable because they're like, oh, do they have decisions that need to be made because they've contributed these funds?
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. Some people are really cool and just go have the cash. But a lot of the time there are underlying issues related to that money and feeling obliged to do what the parent says, which again may be cool, but also it can be really hard if they're stuck in the 70s.
How do you navigate that though?
I think it's conversations from the get-go, and it's uncomfortable because I think especially as women we're conditioned not to talk about money, and it can be really challenging, and also just in general, I don't know why I had to gender that, but I do find it can be tricky. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be nice to say, hey mum and dad, thank you so much, this is so generous. Can we talk about what your expectations of this contribution are? You don't have to be that formal.
Yeah.
Sounds like a business meeting. But just to say, hey, do you want to, are you paying for the dress? Is it the food? Is it the alcohol?
Yes.
And what relationship do you want? Do you want us to keep you updated? Do you want us to send you receipts? Do you want to come to meetings? Because if they can say, no, just go spend the money and have a good time, great.
Yeah.
But if they say, actually, we want to buy you your wedding attire or dress.
Yeah.
And I want to come to every appointment. You go, great. Might be annoying for some people, but great. At least I know.
Yes.
Because all the shit that goes down with weddings, I would say 90% of problems that happen with bridal party, parents, your cousin who thinks she's bringing a boyfriend that she's met on Tinder 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
People that say, when you say, I don't want to have kids at the wedding, and they go, yeah, but you can, we can take my kids, can't we? And you're like, no, well, you can't because I said no.
Yeah.
All this happens because people don't communicate.
Yes.
And it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy.
No.
So that's one.
Yeah.
What was the other thing? Money.
Yeah, of course.
Hard.
Yeah.
There's a idea that, you know, I really go on and on about it, but I truly believe, I call it the wedding Illuminati, but it's this concept of, we are told the average British wedding costs £20,000.
Mm-hmm.
And these stats come from wedding magazines who were then funded by advertising. And I'm not trying to be conspiracy theorist nut job, but when you look at it, the wedding can cost as much money as you have and want to spend. It's like a house.
Yeah.
You know, you will spend however much money the going rate is to live on that street and to buy that sort of house.
Yeah.
And it could be, you know, as we know, the housing market goes up and down and weddings do as well. So I think we all go into it going, oh, 20 grand, that's fine. And then you're like, £20,000 or dollars or whatever your currency is.
Yeah.
Shit, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's been normalised.
Sure. Yes. And also there's an expectation that you've got to spend that. Because if you don't, you won't have a good wedding.
Which is such a load of baloney.
Oh, when it's, that's horrid, isn't it? I mean, that's a huge pressure to have on you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Something that you mentioned, which I know you talked about on the episode you did with Lucy Sheridan,
yes.
who we love on Wobble.
We love.
Hi, Lucy. Post-wedding.
Yes.
Because I got married, it's just over 3 weeks ago now. the post-wedding blues have been awful. Mm. And I do want to come on to it. But I thought you made a really good point with Lucy about post-wedding expectation, mm-hmm. that it wasn't as good as you thought it was going to be. So not only have you got this expectation about yourself running up to the wedding, it can come back afterwards. Because I have picked over everything about that wedding. And I can name three things that, in inverted commas, went wrong. They didn't go wrong. Nobody noticed. Some tables didn't go out at one point. Nobody noticed. I had like two pieces to my wedding skirt and I wish that I'd taken one of them off for my first dance.
Right.
And it's really weird because what I'm in danger of doing is looking back on the wedding and going, oh, it was amazing, but...
I do think there's been a lot of conversations in our... We've got a couple of Facebook groups, mm-hmm. and one of them is called Chiller Grad. So we say you graduate in the bride chiller
community.
Lovely,
yes.
It's funny. And someone put up a post recently, which is what spurred me on to get in touch with Lucy, but just saying that anxiety post-wedding and also thinking back and overlooking the good moments and thinking about the things that went wrong.
Yeah.
And I can relate to this. I think we've all got moments in our lives where... that you've said something to someone and they would never have thought about that saying, you're saying whatever, ever again.
But
you replay it over and over
again.
And I can think of moments now that it gives me a pit in my guts where you're just like... And that, you know, what they would never have even considered that that was inappropriate. That, or whatever.
And you might mention it to them.
Yeah.
And they might go, what? I can't even remember you saying
what
that.
Planet
like,
are you
what?
From? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I do think that you can get hung up, especially around such an event as this, where you have built it up or you have imagined this moment and it didn't quite run to schedule or plan. Or as you said, a little thing went wrong or maybe a big thing went wrong.
Yeah.
But then as humans, our whole and our memories, you can latch on to these things and it's really hard to shake them off.
Yeah.
So the discussion I had with Lucy, and it's so great, was sort of about how to empower yourself to shake it off and forget about it.
Yeah.
But also to acknowledge that and actually, okay, play it over in your mind, think about it, consider why it wasn't great, but then also realize that's a past moment and if we keep dwelling on things, it doesn't do us any good.
Yeah.
The post-wedding blues conversation is so interesting. And I liken it to when you finish a show, like I used to do a lot of stand-up comedy and I'd do the comedy festivals, which was a month of your life, which was possibly, you'd relate it to being in hell, but also it's great.
Yeah.
And you
become, it's a bubble, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You just get in the motion, you go and fly, you do your gig, you hope someone turns up. You don't want it to be a crappy show. It's a great show. Woo, come back the next day. Oh, that sucked. I got to come back the next day. And I would always find at the end of it, I would feel this sort of depression, would like this wave of depression would come over me because the habit was gone.
Yeah.
I was sort of thinking, what am I going to do with my time now?
Yeah.
I'm not constantly thinking about this thing. And also, what am I going to do with my life? There's nothing left for me to do anymore.
Because there is life before the wedding.
Of course.
And life after the wedding.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hardest thing for me, is that I hadn't looked past the wedding at all because everything was focused on the wedding.
Yeah.
And so I never saw it coming. I never saw it coming that I would feel low or down or there would be any sort of come down. I'd never considered it. And I almost think that made it harder in a way, because you're absolutely right. I feel like there's two main things that I miss. One, I miss being around people all the time, because when you're getting married, everybody is there for you. It's all eyes on, they're asking, what do you need? What are we going to get? What have you this? Have you talked about this? I was speaking to my mum like 3, 4, 5 times a week. Do you know what I mean? Because there would just be constantly stuff to talk about. People are asking you all the time, what about your wedding? What's this going to, you know, you've got something to talk about all the time, and you're answering emails and you're doing planning and you're doing stuff like that. And then suddenly, almost overnight, everyone disappears because they've gone back to their lives, because of course, because they can't focus on you anymore. So that was a big thing for me. Like, there was like a real loneliness that came in. And I'm freelance, you know, so I'm on my own a lot. But the other thing is what you said, which is the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It filled so much time and I had so much purpose organising the wedding. And weirdly, I think that's the bit I miss most. I think that's the emptiest bit for me.
It's weird that I talk to a lot of wedding vendors on my podcast. So many vendors came from their other world, got hitched, and then went, I can do that. I can be a wedding vendor.
Yeah.
And then transferred that energy they yes. had for their own wedding to then planning other people's weddings or doing flowers or being a wedding photographer. And yeah. I always liken that to this extension of this energy they want to keep going, or just going, I can do better than that person. I did my thing. But it is interesting because it's a bit of an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
You've got the high, as you said, from the support and the love that you get. And it's really, I think, something to look back on, but also make us all realize that communication and connection we have with our family and friends, maybe it's a really good indicator that we should up it a little bit in our daily lives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's so nice to be with all those people.
Yeah.
And to go, we are, especially in a society where we're on the screens a lot and we're, you know, people don't use the phone anymore. I love the phone.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You know, I just don't understand why people are so adverse to a telephone call.
Yeah.
It's all about the WhatsApp. But I do think it's a nice reminder that these people all show up to celebrate you.
Yeah. Yeah,
and your love, and you found this fellow weirdo that you connect yeah. with, and you're like, great, this is awesome. That maybe it's a good indicator that we should all do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Love giving.
Yeah, because it's receiving. I yes. think that's another thing that struck me, and I talked to my bridesmaid about this afterwards. She was like, we don't receive that much sort of day to day, you know, in terms of, obviously people give you presents and stuff, but in terms of love and the fact that they're all there and they've booked a hotel or they've turned up or they've got a babysitter or whatever, it's a lot to receive and receive and receive. And I think it's that high as well that's difficult to come down from.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm still coming down, and I got married 6 years ago.
Well, this is amazing because I talked about this on my stories, and the amount of people that got in touch with me and said, I'm 6 months on and I'm still like grieving
yeah.
that my wedding's not happening anymore. You know, it's taken me this. Like one lady wrote to me and she said that she'd cried for the whole of her honeymoon, and her husband was like, oh my God, are you all right?
Are you going to be fine?
You're going to be okay. Oh. Because I think we don't talk about it enough, and that's why I was so desperate. I mean, we always say Wobble's like free therapy, and right now I really need free therapy
sure.
because I'm in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and also I thought it had passed. You know, I was like, oh yeah, post-wedding blues, had them for 3 days, and here I am, like 4 weeks on. Because also I feel like I can't keep saying to people, oh, I really miss the wedding. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, oh yeah, okay, all right, get over your wedding.
But do you think it's also this idea that we're conditioned, and I keep coming back to condition, like yeah. I'm some sort of freaking therapist. We build up to a certain event, the wedding, other things in our lives. I'm sure it's the same when people have babies. I haven't had a baby yet, but I'm sure it's the same when you're pregnant and you're getting the attention. Oh, you got the bump and all that. But and then you have the baby and you go, great, I've got this baby.
Yeah. Everyone, I've got a baby.
I've got a baby. Like, I don't know, everyone else has got babies, whatever.
Yeah.
But the idea that we build, and that we're sort of high on all this attention and love and joy, but then we sort of fall off the cliff because we don't really know what the next thing is in yeah. our lives and what to do. But also with weddings especially, we're sending this message that, oh, you're supposed to meet your man or your woman friend, and then you get married and then you live happily ever after. And this is like the peak of our existence.
Yeah.
Which we know not to be the case.
Yeah, but a lot of pressure.
But there's pressure,
yeah.
And also that once we hit that, we're on the roller coaster and we hit the top, that we're also then told, well, you've had your big day.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And the roller coaster is going down again.
Yeah.
And I try and say to my listeners and my readers to say, I don't like using the best day of your life, perfect day, dream day, because I think that wording sets us up for a really big fall in the end.
Yeah.
When you go, well, I freaking hope I have 25 best days of my life.
Yeah.
And I loved our wedding day. And I look back and I can picture all the dancing and the people, and I just thought my hair looked great.
Yeah.
And but I really want to experience that on a whole nother level.
Totally.
50 million times.
This really sort of sits next to when I talk about celebration a lot, and I do a lot of work around self-celebration because the idea that we've got to get married, have a baby or die to have a celebration
is it.
It's not going to be enough for me.
Good.
And I think that's another reason that we get, there's so much pressure on it, like you say, because it's like, well, it's your wedding, you're probably, you know, all being well, you'll only do it once, and even if you did it again, it wouldn't look like this one. And it's just, yeah, like you said, it's so much pressure that this has got to be this amazing, wonderful thing. I always remember my friend saying, she was like, I've never said this before, but my wedding wasn't the best day of my life.
Good honour.
You know? And it's like, I knew around the table, people went, oh God. You know what I mean? Like, poor her. Like, what a shame. But she actually said one of the days on her honeymoon where they got up late and they went down and had an amazing breakfast and lay on the beach all day and then went to dinner and had cocktails. That was the best day. She was like, that was probably one of the best days of my life.
Sounds amazing.
Like, it is, oh God, it's almost taboo to say my wedding wasn't the best day. It's almost like you undermine your marriage somehow.
And it feels like a betrayal to everyone involved.
Yes.
Which is bullshit. And we know it. And it's this yet another thing that comes back to the perception of how something should be, not just going, oh, for fuck's sake, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't the best, I mean, who are we to judge? I can't even think now. Like, if we were to be put on the spot and remove the wedding days from the, you know, what would you say would be the best day?
Oh my God, it's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
It's, you know, it's like saying, what's your favourite song? And then you can't think of one song that you've ever heard ever that you even
I don't even know what a song is.
That's it. But I feel like there's moments. Do you know what I mean? Why should it be all in one day? Do you know what I mean? Like, why can't I have an amazing breakfast from that day and I'll have a really good afternoon from over there? It's moments, isn't it? And that's actually, funnily enough, I look back on my wedding and it's the moments that you pick out, do you know what I mean? And it's moments that, you know, it's like when you see your nan talking to somebody that you went to school with. It's those moments, it's those snapshots that actually, that's what you need to do, rather than looking back at it a whole, like, was it a success or a failure?
And I'm so happy you just said the moments you just revealed then didn't have anything to do with the aesthetics of a wedding.
No, or anything I'd organised or anything I'd really...
We always talk about, we had this great DJ, a guy called Andrew McClellan. If you're ever in Australia, he runs lots of sort of great nights called the Andrew McClellan Finishing School.
Great.
He just did Edinburgh last year and he came and ran these sort of great night, like dance parties. But he is just one of these guys. Actually, he just supported Cher around Australia.
Oh my God. That's unreal.
He dances and he wears this beautiful sort of vintage getup. He looks like he's straight out of Mad Men. He's
perfect.
A god.
Yeah.
But he really, we always talk about him when it comes to the wedding because he created this vibe.
Yeah.
And my dad and my stepmother, who I just didn't think would be that, like they hadn't shown that much interest in my wedding for whatever reason.
sure.
They did not leave the dance floor the whole night. And that's my memory of looking over and seeing them dancing because my expectations that I had sort of put out there, it had been trying in the lead up to the wedding and I thought they were going to turn up more likely her having a bit of a shitty time and projecting her discomfort or whatever, her own bad vibes.
Yeah.
And then looking over and seeing them dancing and really getting into it and Andrew playing the right music for the moment.
Yeah.
That sits and warms my heart because for all the years of crap I've put up with that relationship, I took away and went, at least we had that amazing moment.
Yeah.
And I saw you dancing and I know you had a good time. Yeah. Even if you probably would say in your deathbed you didn't like me and you have a good time. I know it.
That is an amazing thing to worry. And I know I had 25 worries like that before the wedding. And then inevitably, like so much in our lives, you worry and worry and worry about something and then it happens.
That's
and you
cool.
go, oh, it was never even a thing. Yeah. It was not even... And that's hard in the run-up as well because you want everything... You want to do the best you can, I think, as well. And you don't want to have missed something. I think that's a lot of pressure as well that you don't want to go, oh, I never thought of that.
And also then people putting, and this again, I just want this to be, if you're not planning a wedding and you're listening to this episode, let's just some takeaways from this.
Yeah.
But the idea that a lot of people feel like they go, well, here's what you should do. Well, here's what my friend did. Well, I think, you know, I try and just remind people, a lot of these people mean well.
Yeah.
They think they're helping you. And then sometimes they can also go, well, that shouldn't matter. Or don't worry about that. No one's going to notice. And I think that also takes away from your worry and not listening to, okay, maybe you're not worrying about tablecloth color, but maybe deep down the actual worry is you letting go of a little bit of control or you're not being able to afford other tablecloths and that goes deeper.
Yeah.
So I sort of encourage my community to go, we can't shame other people or take away that you're worried about something that someone else thinks is silly.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to be respectful and also be able to communicate to family members and friends who come back and say, well, don't worry about that. Or just, you're being very silly or whatever.
Yeah.
And actually saying, well, this is really meaningful to me and perhaps you think I'm overreacting or perhaps you think this is a beat up or whatever, but actually I'm in this moment. I'm sitting in this at the moment.
Yeah.
Just let me feel what I want to feel.
Yeah.
And please support me.
Yes.
Harder to say to your mother or mother-in-law that, you know, knows sure. how to chip away at you and you yeah. want to scream.
Yeah.
But I do think, just to sum this up for you, Sarah.
Sure. This sounds profound. I'm going to sit back.
People say about bridezilla and bridechilla, and I just want to really reiterate that to me, the word bridezilla is so deeply problematic from so many angles. Really, the foundations of it is saying that a woman can't express her feelings of disdain or discomfort or panic or stress.
Yeah.
And if she does, then she's being branded. She's a bridezilla. She's being trouble. But then if we strip all that away and we look at the wedding industry as a whole and what it's sort of changed from when June got married and when Margie McCormack, my mum, got married,
yeah.
they would most likely, their wedding was probably partially organised by their parents.
My mum said she just turned up for her
wedding.
Of course
she did. She
didn't
know
a single thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
My parents were the same.
Yeah.
And they turn up, they have the gig. There's not all the preamble that goes. They probably didn't even have any of the hens and bucks
yeah.
and bachelorettes or whatever.
Yeah.
All these other freaking events that people have attached to it because it makes money.
Yes.
And I'm not anti-consumerist, people. I love spending money.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of pressure for us to do this extra
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's all of the messaging we're being given all the time about perfection and you must buy this and this must happen or this is not going to be good or your wedding won't be memorable. Like lists of stuff. And then you wonder why people react and panic and get stressed and then they're called bridezillas
yeah.
or whatever. It just feels so wrong. And I think that when it comes down to it and why Bridechilla has worked and connected with the audience is just going, forget all that shit and really just plan a lovely party
yeah.
that you enjoy. And it might not be the best party in the whole world because someone's probably having a better party somewhere else.
Yeah.
Who am I to judge?
Yeah.
I don't care. But do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And just release all of that energy and stress and expectations and just put it in the fucker bucket.
Oh, amen. Amen. We always ask everyone
yeah.
who comes on Wobble.
Please.
If you wobble, Alicia, what makes you wobble? What is it? What's the thing that kind of trips you up?
For me, it's when someone misinterprets something that I do or I feel like I've let them down.
Okay.
I'm relatively new to running a business. My podcast has turned into more of a business and I've created books and merch. And if I get a customer service, like my husband and I do all of the stuff and I love that people write thinking we have a team. And that's, you know, kudos to us for creating
Absolutely.
Something. But also, shit, it really stresses me out. If someone writes saying, my package didn't arrive or the other day we sell our books to all over the world
yeah
and but we charge in US dollars and someone wrote from Australia saying you charged me you said it was $50 and I've been charged $70 not happy or, and
yeah
now I read that and I was like oh I don't want to let you down no one in the publishing industry because we self-publish and we're doing it all ourselves and we're hustling and we love it and we care
yeah
that I sat there going oh my god
yeah
and it's like get your shit together Alicia write her a very lovely polite business email and explain what the system is
yeah
and explain that she actually should have seen that there was a very clear
yes
message on the page
yes
don't get upset so I suppose when it comes down to it I need to work on not being as emotionally connected and
yeah.
taking it
which is hard when it's your business
yeah.
and it's your baby and it's your passion and it is you're putting everything into it it's so hard not to take personally. It's really hard to put that distance in. It's not Alicia who is selling, do you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Bridechilla. That's what they're buying.
Exactly.
They're buying your brand and they're buying, you know,
yeah.
and even if it is your name on it, which it is, your name's on all your books, it's a different Alicia. It's not Alicia
no.
who sat watching The Real Housewives.
Yeah, exactly.
And there does have to, it's Sasha Fierce, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's that distance between it. I could keep you here all afternoon.
Please.
There's so much.
You've got to go catch
you know,
a train.
I've got to go and get a train. I just want to sit here and just get a drinks trolley. Like that would be
we could arrange
this
that.
Afternoon.
Well, my team will get it for you.
Sure. Yes. If you could get We're ready for it now, Deborah.
Please bring in the trolley.
Alicia, thank you so much.
Thank you, my love.
So I know I said it at the start, but I really think there is so much in this episode that isn't just about weddings. What Alicia talked about, obligations, you know, from other people's expectations, pressures, the word should, and of course, the fuck it bucket, which is available for you whenever you might need it. So I really hope that you got loads out of it. If you want to follow Alicia, and may I recommend that you do, she is at Bride Chiller Podcast, and we will put a link in the description as well. Also, the podcast is Bride Chiller, if you want to go and find it. While you're there, please do subscribe to Wobble. We would love to have you. And this is the third series, so do go back and have a listen to all the other glorious episodes. If you're new, welcome. It is divine to have you. Thank you so much for being here, and we will see you next time for another brilliant guest on Wobble.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.